My name is Brock Wilkes, and I am a funeral director and owner of Wilkes Funeral Home.
As director and owner of this funeral home, tell me what it's like to run an establishment like that.
Sure. Well, I mean, there are obviously a lot of challenges to it, but in the same token, it's incredibly rewarding to be able to provide a service to families that are going through essentially what's going to be the most difficult time of their life. And so to be able to lighten that burden a little bit is, again, is incredibly rewarding. And it's, you know, on the flip side of the coin, we're dealing with people at their lowest. And so sometimes it can be challenging working with the, individuals who are very emotional. And so but overall, the highs, the rewards far outweigh the challenges. And so, yeah, it's been great. I've actually done this for 19 years, almost it'll almost be 20 years, and have owned the funeral home for, I guess, 13, and just started it from the ground up. So
run me through a usual day for you guys. Like, when you walk into the doors in the morning, what's a normal day look like for you guys?
Sure. So we take an on-call rotation, and so obviously you cannot schedule when people pass away. And so we respond as soon as we're notified of somebody passing away. So we may be walking in at 8:30. To open the doors at 9, but we have been up since, you know, 2 or in the morning, or since 1 in the morning, and working through the night. And so sometimes it can be a little bit challenging, especially if you're just, when we started out, it was just myself and another funeral director. And so between the two of us, we were doing all of the work and still needed to be here at 9 a.m. to open the doors. And so, most of the time we have a morning huddle every morning, and just go over the tasks for the day. So either we're working with a family, making arrangements with them, having meetings with them, preparing obituaries, proofreading obituaries, designing programs or funeral folders that are passed out at the funeral. Ordering keepsakes for the family that they've ordered. And then also we're doing a lot of making phone calls, coordinating with either the clergy that are going to be helping with the service, or cemetery workers to make sure things are in place, and florists, any of those types of things that are associated with funerals. We coordinate with those individuals for the on behalf of the family, to make it a little bit easier on them. So on days that we don't have services, we're just preparing and prepping for the day that we do have a funeral service. And then on the day that we do have a service, we're, of course, preparing for that service. And so whether that's here at the funeral home or at a church, we're organizing and prepping the facilities to make sure everything's ready to go for when the family walks through the door, and that hopefully everything can run as smooth as possible. We certainly take the position that even though if something were to go wrong during the funeral, first of all, we feel like we have one chance to get everything right for the family. There's no do-over for funerals. And so We do everything we can to make sure leading up to that we've dotted all I's, crossed all T's, and then done it again just to make sure. And so we want to make sure that if something does go wrong, we understand that even though it may not have been our fault, it still reflects on us. And so we're trying to manage every little detail that's going to take place with that funeral, because any part of it reflects on our reputation. And so it's really detail intensive to make sure that we're on top of everything, because there aren't any do-overs. Other than that, when most people consider or contemplate what a funeral director does, they're thinking a lot about the prep work or the care of the deceased. And so in actuality, that probably amounts to 30% of what we do. 70% of what we do is working with the family, counseling with them, planning with them. But there is that 30% that also, you know, we busy ourselves with. So often we're making sure that we have state authorizations in place, permits in place to proceed with the disposition, whether that be cremation or whether that be burial. And so we, you know, we're helping prepare the deceased for that disposition, dressing them, washing them, embalming, and cosmetics when necessary, or, you know, unfortunately, accidents happen. And so if there's anything reconstructive the family has requested us to do to make somebody more presentable, then we do those things as well. So those are things that we may not all do in one day, but we do over the course of, you know, several days and preparing for dispositions and funerals and things like that.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot you got to do there.
So whenever I hire somebody or bring somebody on, like a funeral, like a secretary or a business admin, I guess we don't do a ton of hiring. We don't have a lot of turnover. But the most recent hire I did that does our office manager, she was previously employed at a bank. And so when she came on, the comment she said the most that first year was like, I had no idea you guys had to do things like this. And so there is a lot involved that that the public just doesn't realize. I mean, you consider not everybody passes away at home, or not everybody passes away near home. Sometimes they're on vacation. And so what's involved with that? So we're coordinating all those transportation arrangements, transporting people, booking airfare for deceased to be transported back home, picking them up at the airport, and there's just a lot of things that you kind of don't consider.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you guys keep busy. I mean, earlier you said that you guys are basically on call almost 24/7. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, like, I mean, death is it's kind of the one thing that you can't really prepare for, you know, so.
It's sort of interesting as well, where we're still a fairly small community. We don't have, like, a medical examiner's office like maybe you would find in the Salt Lake Valley or even in Boise, where they have the coroner's office. And so if somebody, you know, passes away, due to, you know, a car accident or anything, you know, unexpected like that, then we actually respond to the scene. And so there isn't necessarily a an organization or a county or responders team that deals just with decedents. And so sometimes we find ourselves in places that I never would have expected, like underneath an overpass where somebody was, you know, had passed away and was found. And so it can be, we just never know what, you know, when the phone rings, what exactly is going to be happening on the other end. And so.
Well, that's grown a lot of respect for you guys now. That's crazy.
Well, I appreciate that.
So tell me a little bit about what this job means to you. I mean, you've had this business for upwards of 20 years at this point. What's been the most standout thing to you as you've carried out this position?
That's a great question. So first of all, I guess I'm assuming that since you're with BYU Idaho, that it's okay to bring my religious beliefs into this
right.
discussion, I would hope. Okay. So, you know, I think with an audience that may share the same beliefs as I do, I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so some of our beliefs are, we're taught that our body is a temple for our spirit. And so I've kind of looked at that a little bit differently, a few different ways, I guess. And one of the ways is I consider the Rexburg Temple or the Idaho Falls Temple or even now the Pocatello Temple you know, once people are finished for the day, once the temple's locked up for the day and it's empty, that building isn't any less sacred than it was when things were happening. And so for me, when I consider our body as a temple, it's not any less sacred when the person has passed away, when the spirit has departed. And so I've often taken the, I guess, idea that I'm a temple's groundskeeper more than anything. And so, you know, I get, and I understand, but I get when people find out what I do with, when they've met me for the first time, even after they know what I do, I get a lot of jokes, and I get it. People are uncomfortable with death, and I understand it, but it's probably the least funny thing for me that there is, because I've been with families who've lost 4-year-old, you know, children, and to see what they are going through and the pain that loss causes them, there's not much funny about it. And so it's funny to a lot of other to people because they're uncomfortable with it, but when it's you in that situation, it's your world's upside down. And for me, to be able to provide a little comfort means the world.
Yeah, so I kind of want to touch on that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You've been in this business for so long. Is it worth it?
it is. It's not for everybody, and even there are some people who get into it and think it's going to be one way, and it ends up not being that way. In fact, the attrition rate for graduate students of what's called mortuary science as the degree is, I think, 75% of those who graduate from mortuary science school within 5 years are no longer in the profession. And so it is, but in answer to your question, so it is difficult. It is emotionally draining, but for me, it's 100% worth it. I mean, there are times when, you know, I've got called out Christmas morning, and I've had to leave Thanksgiving dinner because of getting called out. But for the most part, when I feel like when you do this job right, there is the gratitude that you get from families that you've served and helped is it's just an incredible feeling. I mean, they are just so grateful that somebody could be there for them during that time. It's totally worth it.
I want to, maybe one more question before I bring up a different topic here. When it comes to how you guys prepare for this or prepare for something like this happening, if you were to look at this usual job that you do, and maybe give some advice to people who maybe are going through something that has had going through a death of a loved one or something of that nature, what's some advice that you've maybe seen in your 20 years in this job that you could say to help comfort someone?
I think first, some of the lessons I've learned being a funeral director is, number one, I make an effort not to take things for granted. I mentioned that unfortunately accidents happen and it affects children and families with children. And so there have been times that I come home and I'm just so grateful and thankful that I have my family. I'm a father of six. And so I feel like that helps me really with a unique perspective on life. Additionally, I've seen people go through incredible circumstances that almost seem impossible challenges to overcome, where you're losing a young wife of, 27, loses her husband, and they have three kids. And it's just, how do you how is it possible to get over that challenge? And I've seen people grow because of it in ways that they probably couldn't have any other way. And so although it's largely, in large part, incredibly difficult, there is growth that that happens, and there is life on the other side of grief, and it's not something you overcome, it's something you go through. And just, I guess my advice would be, take your time, don't rush yourself, feel what you need to feel, and just know that you're going to be a different person, and sometimes that's not bad.
So let me shift focus for a little bit here. I did want to get your take on some recent news that's happened in Pocatello. I'm sure as a funeral home director, you've heard of it. There's currently a criminal investigation going on at Downard Funeral Home. And I wanted to get your take on, so far, just like, what are your thoughts on what you've seen so far from that case?
It's just heartbreaking. This has affected so many people, and those who haven't been directly affected by it now have concerns because they've used that funeral home in the past, or now they just have an overall distrust for the profession, which is completely understandable and justified. And so, but it's just heartbreaking what's happened, and really, when you involve a funeral home in this part of your life, you are vulnerable, and so for somebody to have what I consider broken that trust for families who've called upon them to help them, it's just unfortunate and really sad.
You know, you've talked a little bit about that distrust that is being formed because of what's been happening. Have you seen that since this has started, maybe either in your business or just in other places around Pocatello?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were involved in helping. We were involved in helping nine of the families that had loved ones recovered from Downard, and so I've spoken directly with these families and worked with them, there's immediately been a barrier that we've had to overcome with that family that we've been working with, because automatically, because of their past experience, and for obvious reasons, they have a certain level of distrust. And so we've done everything that we feel like we can in making sure the family's knowing that we have an open door policy. If any time you walk through the store, you want to see something, or you want to see your loved one, where the crematory is, anything like that, we're going to make that available to you. I've had families that have been affected by this that have wanted to be involved in every process, in every step, where normally we wouldn't necessarily see that. So I've had families that wanted to be there when we picked their loved one up and transferred them into our care, and then they wanted to be here when they arrived. And then they wanted to be there once the cremation process was started, and then be there at the end of it as well. And so we've had families, and even before this took place, we've had this policy, and we've actually had families witness the initiation of the cremation process, and then they would actually stay in the building in our facility until the cremation process was finished. And so we've welcomed that all along, but now, so it's even more important to just give these families that hopefully extend this to them to allow them to trust us that we can help and will help.
So tell me a little bit about, because you said that you've helped 9 of these families that have been affected by this case so far. How have you seen, without going into too much detail, of course, how have you seen these families affected? Like, what was their whole outlook on what's happening right now?
A lot of confusion, and some of them feel guilt for maybe not having asked more questions, or not having been involved more, or some of them feel guilty because they actually had an urn that they thought was their loved one for the entire time. And so once authorities reached out to them and said that they recovered their loved one at the funeral home, some of them feel guilty that they had taken somebody's loved one, cremated or remains, away from another family. And so it's just been very disorienting for some of them, and actually brings up a lot, that brings the grief back to the surface, and they're sort of reliving it again all over.
Let me go back to what you said earlier. You said that there was a bit of distrust, but that you have a policy that you've had in place for so long about keeping kind of that open door, that open window kind of situation, where they're allowed to see the process and know what's going on, so that they can have that bit of knowledge. Is there anything else? Have you done any changing of how maybe you've looked at this job, how you do your job, the outlook that you've had on this because of this case? Has anything changed for that?
At the risk of sounding sort of arrogant, I did not grow up in this business, and it's not something my dad did, and I didn't take it over from him. And so I feel like from the beginning, I've always had sort of an outsider's perspective on if I were in these family shoes, how would I want to be treated? And so it hasn't changed a great deal about how we operate, because we've always wanted to make sure that families were communicated well with families, that they were informed each step along the way, and so we haven't changed a whole lot, because I feel like we've been operating transparently since the very beginning. If you actually go to our website, we have a virtual tour of our funeral home on our website, and you can actually, the virtual tour actually takes you back into our embalming and our preparation areas. And so, and it's been surprising how many times I've used that with some family members, where they've said, where is my mom, where does my mom stay, or where is she going to be, between now and the funeral? And I'll pull up the virtual tour, and I'll show them the area where they'll be at for the duration of their stay with us. And that seems to give people some peace. But again, at the risk of sounding arrogant, it hasn't changed a whole lot, because I feel like we've tried really hard to make sure that we're transparent and communicating with families every step of the way.
All right. So I do have one more question for you with regards to this, which is, if you say you have an outsider perspective, I really want to talk to you a little bit about what you think is going to happen going forward, if how long this might take to heal for people, how much time might be needed to move on from something like this, and do you see this, getting better? Do you see this maybe that distrust kind of lingering for a little bit longer? What's your take on that?
I think so. I think with time, I've actually been really surprised with, I expected way more backlash towards the industry in general. And it has been from some of the forums and the comment threads that I've been looking at through some of the news outlets, most of the negative feedback and attention has gone to that funeral home specifically, and not to generally the funeral home industry. That being said, I do think we might see some changes as far as oversight. State oversight might be concerned. I think we might see a little bit more inspections or just kind of some more oversight with the Bureau of Occupational Licenses towards funeral homes to hopefully, you know, prevent this from happening again. Maybe something, rules more strict with the Idaho Board of Morticians, because as everybody knows, he had had problems with probation for his license, and he had some problems with the licensing board, and so I think we might see some more the state being a little bit more strict in those regards.
What is, real quick, something that you want to tell the public regarding the situation, maybe regarding how their outlook on funeral homes and what you guys do for the community is changing? Is there something that you wanted to tell the public about?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think it's important to note, and I think by and large the community understands that this is an isolated circumstance. That by and large the industry, the type of people that this industry attracts are people who are dedicated to serving and helping families, by and large. And so I feel like this is an isolated incident. Additionally, I don't think one of the things that the community ought to know, or I think they ought to know, that if they have questions, ask them. If they want to know, ask the funeral home, and don't hesitate or don't hold back. If you have concerns, if you're in a situation that you've lost a loved one, you have concerns, address them with the funeral home, address them with the funeral director. And depending on how they respond, that may give you a good indication as to whether you want to work with that particular home, funeral home. I will say that the best time to consider funeral homes is before you need one. And although the vast majority of people do not go in and, I guess, shop for a funeral home, you really should. You should know who you're putting your trust into and get to know them. And that obviously doesn't sound incredibly appealing, but it's a good tool for you to be able to cope and to, you know, make sure things go smoothly for you and your family during this process.
One more last, just super quick logistical question. What is your guys' website so that people can learn more info about what you guys do and maybe take that tour that you were talking about earlier?
Certainly, yeah. So we have two locations here in Pocatello, one in Chubbuck and then one in South Pocatello. So Wilkes Funeral Home and then Wilkes Colonial Chapel. And those are the respective web addresses. So WilkesFuneralHome.com and WilkesColonialChapel.com. And some people like to throw an E in Wilkes, but there's no E in our case.
Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity.